Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk about a couple of conversations I've had recently where we've dug in a little bit into the challenge we have with time and perception of time and how it plays into our day-to-day lives. It's something that doesn't go away and it's something we have to learn to become aware of and manage. And if I'm honest, I think it's actually the biggest challenge I see across the neurodiversity world. So let's dig into this one. Okay, let's dive into this classic. This is something that I talk about a lot around time and perception, mainly because I truly believe this is the game changer for the neurodiverse mind. Now you can say to me, oh, how is dyslexia or ADHD? How does this all connect? The people I work with, talk to, deal with, some have been diagnosed with just dyslexia, some have got the double, the dyslexia or ADHD diagnosis, others have ADHD, others, you know, have a bit of autism in there as well. But this time continuum challenge seems to be such a common factor. And it kind of goes past the individual diagnosis, but everyone who fits in this kind of neurodiversity bubble seems to struggle with it more than most. Now, when I've raised this in the past with people, they've said, yeah, but I'm always on time to stuff, or I'm always early. And when you dig a bit deeper, what you find out is they used to be remarkably late, or they sit in this place of remarkable fear around being the late person. You know, I see this a little bit with my wife, who I do love dearly, but, you know, she's always early. Like, she's got this thing where she was taught early on, if you're not early, you're late. And she will go ridiculously early if needed to make sure she's early. And I know other people who are always a little bit late. I'm sometimes, you know, not always, but I'm either on time or 5 minutes late. That's my pattern. And it's taken a long time to build up to that. But the core concept here is that time doesn't always play nicely with our minds. We think, you know, let's look at some examples. We think things will happen quicker than they do. A lot of business owners are great at saying, hey, I'll get this done in a year, when it's actually a 3-year project. Or this will only take 2 weeks. 6 weeks later, they're still going. The actual ability to see time, you know, complete timelines is poor. It's not our skill set. It's why many of us are not, the real detailed project managers, because we're not good at the timeline side of things. It just doesn't really work. We can see gaps, we can see challenges, we can see things that aren't quite there. But, you know, direct project management, we struggle with. It's just not natural for us. And us following automatic repeating steps is painful. You know, it's just not in our makeup. It's also the thing that, you know, people go, oh, why do people with ADHD and dyslexia have businesses? It's because they are so poor at time sometimes. They think they've got a great idea that they're really passionate about, and they go, oh, I can do this in 6 months. And by the time they get to 6 months, they know they're probably a year or two away, but they just keep going because they've already dug so deep, right? And so if they've already started a business they thought was much easier, and they just keep going, you know. The good ones find someone to help them kind of break through those barriers and keep going. But, you know, it's a key thing. Because many people who are coming up with business ideas, if they're not neurodiverse, look at it, actually map out the time and investment properly at the start and go, hey, this actually isn't worth my time, or I can't actually see this having a high chance of success, so they don't get started, right? So like they use that kind of common sense kind of thought process, where the neurodiverse, we're less likely to adhere to that in that same of life. You know, and what I was saying to a couple of people I'm working with at the moment, is this challenge with time of thinking that, you know, and it comes from a couple of different angles. It comes from an angle of comparison, where we think that we're not doing enough with our time, or we're not getting enough done in a day. We could stay at the end of the day and go, wow, I don't even know what happened today. I don't even think I've achieved anything. And that's kind of that reflection on time and going, oh, nothing happened. But if we were better at kind of reflecting on that, and it is a practice you can get better at, don't get me wrong, you can improve it, but we can look at it and go, oh, I did a lot today, but I don't know if I achieved anything. Whereas a very common phrase I hear from neurodiverse thinkers. And it's because we kind of can't really lay out how those things we did in today plays into our future vision, our goals, or what we're trying to achieve. And because we can't really connect the dots easily, the cause and effect challenge that many of us have, we struggle with it. And so we actually think we're not achieving when we are. You know, when we actually get into proper, well thought out comparison, because comparison can be a great tool for us to compare how success is working, then we actually see how far we are above others. Does that make sense? And what we're actually achieving. We may achieve the same, like 8 hours of work in 2 hours, and we've achieved the same thing, we've just done it a different way. Does that make sense as well? Like, it's, this is just something that's so important to get your head around, is that time and perception is a challenge. You don't see the world like everybody else. And it becomes a real, you know, a real brick wall in our lives. And we sometimes think the worst thing you can do is you think you're better than you are at time management. You know, many of us put in rules and routines that work to a point. It's the only way we can survive. But like I know myself, I'm terrible at time. Absolutely terrible. I know routines and the stuff I've learned has helped me massively, massively, massively. But it is not natural for me to understand timelines and amounts. I struggle to quote projects sometimes because I just can't get the price to time ratio right. It just doesn't naturally occur. I can estimate it. I can go gut feel, but it's, sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. It's just, it's not an accurate use of time. So this plays out in a bunch of different ways. Like, and it's why you'll find with time, many of us, well, all of us, as far as I'm concerned, are just-in-time finishers. We love a deadline. We're so good at a deadline because the great thing about deadline is it gives you a fixed point in time that either you set or someone else. It's always better if someone else sets it. But you've got a fixed time point where you're working towards it. So you can actually work backwards. You know, you can say, hey, I've got to have that done in 3 weeks' time. How long do I need? And how am I going to work best around it? I was sitting and having dinner with a guy called Rich Rowley, part of the Brain Badge. They're doing some great things around neurodiversity in New Zealand. And he mentioned, hilariously, one of his other jobs. He had some really big projects to deliver. He did a lot of workshops and similar stuff. And the organizer at the company would set up all these timelines and what work had to be done before a big event. And he would just do nothing for 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks and up into the event. And then the last day or two beforehand, he would just cram. He knew that had to be done by this point, his brain would kind of go, dopamine overload, awesome, fantastic. He'd sit down, he'd crush his work, get it all done, nail the presentation. But he couldn't actually balance 4 weeks prior to do it in small bits. Just didn't work. He needed it all at once at the end. That made him work. That made his brain activate. It made, you know, it just works. And if you're not using that technique in your systems, it's brilliant. And so make sure you're setting yourself little milestones that actually matter, or get other people to set them and realize you just work that way. There's no special, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just the way you function. You know, I see a lot of neurodiverse people trying to find ways to become more balanced and go, oh, I'll do 25% of the project this week, 25% next week, 25% the following week. And it just doesn't work. Don't lie to yourself. Your brain is developed in a certain way. There's no magic pill to change it. It's about understanding the awareness of your time and the perception of time and starting to factor in routines and changes that stop you beating yourself up. And I had a great conversation around time with a client the other day. And one of the things that came to him, came to us from the end of it, and I thought it was just a profound moment in his life, is that time is the thing that causes a lot of anxiety for him. You know, whether he's doing really well or really poorly, it's the balance of understanding time that was, you know, causing it. So whether he's got nothing on in the day, nothing booked in his day at work or for what he does, or he's got too much booked, he gets anxious. He gets anxious if his diary has nothing in it because, oh, what am I missing? What am I not doing? What am I forgetting about in the timeline of what I'm trying to achieve? Or if he's got too much on, he's like, oh, I've got too much on. I've got other things to do. How do I deal with this? And he came to this point of view of going, I get anxiety whether I'm busy. I get anxiety whether I'm not busy. I get anxiety all these different places. And so why am I giving anxiety such a big piece of my attention? And don't get me wrong, he uses all of the little techniques around, or he tries to use the techniques around meditation and other stuff and going for walks. But anxiety still comes up, right? It's not like you meditate once and it's gone. It's not like you meditate a million times. You know, it's kind of like if you're driving in your car and you look in the rearview mirror and you reflect on something and you see something behind you, you don't just look at it once, right? You're looking at it again and again and again. It's the same with anxiety. Like, you've got to keep looking in that rearview mirror, becoming aware of it and dealing with it. But that awareness from him that I really loved around anxiety comes, whatever happens, it's huge. It's a huge step because you can take a breath and you might be thinking, oh gosh, really? I'm going to be anxious the rest of my life? No, it's not quite like that. It's saying you recognize that anxiety is going to appear and I'm okay with that. When I get anxious, it doesn't mean the world is going to end. You know, if you think about how often you get anxious at different things for different crazy reasons, I call them crazy because some of them just seem so illogical, is that when you think about it, you know, it doesn't really matter, right? How many times has the world ended when you got anxious? Like, really? How often? It's usually just your brain playing a trick with time, you know? Like, I like to think, hey, at the end of each day, the world wipes and I start again the next day. And that kind of, you know, hey, I get anxious. I got anxious yesterday. I got anxious this morning for about 3 minutes, you know, and I was looking at it going, why am I getting anxious? Who cares? I don't have to do this. I could go for a walk. And that chilled me out. I carried on. So I know this is a bit all over the place today, guys. You know, it's how my brain works and I love it dearly. I hope that's given you some value. I hope it's got you thinking. I hope it's got you something to play with in the world of time. Have an epic rest of your day.